Just as it's often helpful to have someone with you when you work out, Skip Heitzig reminds us that Christians won't make it if we try to go solo.
I'm afraid that sometimes we confuse personal relationship with private relationship. We make a huge issue. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? And sometimes we hear that and we think it means private relationship with Christ. There is no such thing. Every relationship that you or I or anyone has with Christ, there is a mutual accountability and connection with the body of Christ.
Make the connection.
In many ways, keeping fit physically is very similar to staying fit spiritually. After all, there are specific places you need to go to have that equipment specially designed to help your physical fitness. There are certain activities that you repeat to help you stay fit. And you can actually see results as your waistline shrinks and your muscles grow. Well, much of that is true for our spiritual development as well. Churches are specific places we go that are equipped to help us develop activities that will produce spiritual results that impact every part of our life. And we'll explore that in more detail today with Skip Heitzig here on The Connection. But before we begin, there have been many disturbing trends in the entertainment industry. And we have a new documentary that not only explores those trends, but also what we can do about them.
If you have children, you have challenges. That is not breaking news. And you know that it's only getting tougher to shepherd your flock. Families are under attack as media multiplies. Their messages are slick and sick.
A lot of it is very occultic, and a lot of it is extremely addictive.
Vampires leer from billboards and leap from movie screens and network shows. Games invite violent and occultic second lives. Boundaries are hard to draw, and reality is difficult to define when the web entangles teens with fantasy worlds and false identities. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Is your teen choosing dark entertainment? Are you seeing a disturbing trend in your family that you aren't sure how to deal with?
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming. Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
Most people don't think of being a member of a church as the same thing as being a member of a gym. But in fact, the two have many similarities. However, church membership can produce results that are far more valuable and lasting.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues our study.
One person being brought to Christ, the seed that you sow, the message that you share, and what can happen from just extending your hand to another person. One of my favorite stories about that begins April 21st, 1855. A Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball was pacing outside of a shoe store in Chicago because one of his Sunday school students was working as a salesman inside the shoe store. And he was going back and forth. Should I go in there and talk to him about Jesus or should I not? He did. And he led that young man to Christ. That young man was Dwight Lyman Moody, who became pastor of Moody Church, named after him, of course, but also one of the greatest evangelists of his era. Dwight L. Moody, in his worldwide ministry, he preached to thousands. But one time when he was preaching, a man by the name of F.B. Meyer was sitting in the audience who was so stirred by Dwight L. Moody, he thought, you know what? I'm going to go into the ministry full time. F.B. Meyer went into the ministry full time. And one day he was preaching, and a college student by the name of Wilbur Chapman was there. And at that service, he gave his life to Christ. And Wilbur Chapman happened to work for the YMCA and hired a young baseball player, a professional baseball player named Billy Sunday, whom through his ministry came to Christ. Billy Sunday was invited by businessmen in Charlotte, North Carolina to hold a crusade. He couldn't make it. Somebody else took his place, a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. And during one of those meetings, when Mordecai Ham was preaching, a tall, lanky young man walked forward and gave his life to Christ, named Billy Graham. And now you know the rest of the story. That's the pattern we find in the Bible. One person reaches out and connects somebody, and fruit happens. In verse 17, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, he is baptized. And also in verse 18, he is strengthened. Verse 22, he increased in strength. I'm showing you all these things because you notice that he goes from private prayer with the Lord to a corporate partnership with God's people. It's not just, I have my own personal private little relationship with God. He joins himself with other believers. And because of that, he grows. Because of that, he is strengthened. Christian, your spiritual strength is directly proportional to two things: devotions and connections. Devotions, your time with God, your daily devotions, your prayer, your Bible study, where you make meaningful connection with your Creator. But you don't stop there. After devotions comes the connections with God's people. Meaningful connections where you are able to share into their life and they're also able to speak into your life. We've often said Christianity is a team sport. It's a contact sport. You need to make contact, meaningful contact with other believers. I'm afraid that sometimes we confuse personal relationship with private relationship. We make a huge issue. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? And sometimes we hear that and we think it means private relationship with Christ. There is no such thing. Every relationship that you or I or anyone has with Christ, there is a mutual accountability and connection with the body of Christ. Here's my question. Are you a strong Christian? Would you consider yourself a strong believer? If not, if your strength is waning, it could be that these are the two areas that need to be shored up. Devotions, connections. Saul of Tarsus made both. Let's look at a third now. He's on his feet preaching. Look at verse 20. Immediately, notice that, immediately he prayed. He's with believers, and then immediately he preached the Christ, that is, that Jesus is the Messiah, in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed, and they said, is this not the one who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, folks, this is not what Saul of Tarsus signed up for when he took his trip to Damascus. Number one on his agenda, arrest Christians. Number two on his agenda, bind Christians. Number three on his agenda, put Christians in jail. Now, Saul of Tarsus is in the synagogues preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Try, just try, stretch yourself a little bit. Imagine being Jewish and sitting in the synagogue service on that Sabbath when Saul of Tarsus walked in. I'll tell you what, you'd get sweaty palms. You go, oh no, that guy's here. I know what he wants. And then he gets up and you think, here it is. He's going to rope us all up. But rather, With strong conviction, he preaches that Jesus is the Christ. It says he did it immediately. You know why? Once he discovered the truth, and once he was strengthened with other believers, he couldn't keep it inside. You can't keep good news to yourself if you really understand and have been nurtured that it's good news. It's sort of like shaking a Coke bottle. Remember doing that? Or now a Coke can. You shake it up and got so much pressure it goes off. I heard a story about a group of prospectors searching for gold. They were up in Bannock, Montana, which at that time was the capital of the state. They went out one time to do a search party for gold up in the mountains. On their way, disaster occurred. Several people died because of cold, because of disease. They were robbed by bandits. They were left destitute with nothing. And they went back to Bannock, Montana with their heads hung low, but they camped by a riverbed, a creek. And as they were just sort of hanging around, getting a little bit of refreshment, one of the guys broke open a rock and he said to his friends, "You know, I think there may be gold right here in this little creek." And they mined that afternoon, got $12 worth of gold. They mined the next day, got $50 more worth of gold. In those days, that was big money. They went back to Bannock, Montana, and they vowed to each other, "We won't breathe this to a soul. We'll resupply ourselves and we'll go back out." Deal? Deal, they said. On the day they were ready to leave for their second expedition, there were 300 other men in Bannock, Montana going with them. Who told them? Answer, nobody. The looks on their faces betrayed them. They came back gleaming and beaming, and people thought, "We know what's up." And they followed. It's interesting to note that from the very beginning, Saul felt the urgency to preach the gospel message. He wasn't a professional seminary-trained Christian preacher. He was a Jewish rabbi who had come now to believe instantly Jesus is the Messiah. Spent a little time with believers, and he felt that urge, "I've got to tell as many people as I can." Somebody once said, "The height of selfishness is when you're content to go to heaven alone." Saul couldn't tolerate that. In fact, later on, he'll write something to that effect. He will exclaim in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." So we begin with Saul on his back repenting, and then Saul on his knees praying, and then Saul joining other Christians partnering, and now Saul on his feet and he's preaching. His private devotions, his partnering with other Christians now readied him for a public mission. Now, that same principle applies to every one of us. This is the reason you don't die when you're converted. This is the reason you're not instantly transported to heaven at an altar call. The first two exercises, private devotion, connecting with other believers, makes you ready for the third one. Share it with as many people as you can. God works in us, now listen, so that God might work through us. You know, so often we go, "Oh, Lord, do a work in me, do a work in me. I want to experience you more. I want to worship you more. I want to feel you more." Cool, great. But after that, because of that, it should ready us for the third, and that is this public platform. Back in 1963, it took the world all of about 2 hours to hear about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. 2 hours. Several years later, in 1999, it took the world 2 minutes to hear about the death of John F. Kennedy Jr. when he crashed his plane in the Atlantic Ocean. 2 hours, 63, 1999, 2 minutes. Now, folks, it's been 2,000 years, and half the world doesn't know about Jesus Christ in the gospel message. You say, well, that's a high statistic. Okay, let's say a fourth. Let's say a tenth. There's a huge group of people who've never yet heard the gospel. This may be the hardest of all the spiritual calisthenics. Would you agree? It's easy to privately talk to God and worship Him and pray and get into the Word. It's then easy to be with other believers who are going to encourage you and nourish you and disciple you. But this third spiritual exercise, this third calisthenic, is perhaps the hardest of all. One researcher I read this week said, quote, "The typical church believer will die without leading a single person to a life-saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ." Close quote. I don't share that with you so you'll walk away feeling really bad and guilty tonight. But rather, with the thought, the hope, that some of you are going to go, okay, I've heard enough of this stuff. I'm going to try it. I'm going to step out and I'm going to say something this week to somebody. I'm going to give it a go. You've heard it. A church that does not evangelize will eventually fossilize. It's true about single individual believers. A believer who does not evangelize will eventually fossilize. Paul was not a fossil. He refused to become one. Let's look at the fourth, and this is the result of the third. He is on the run, fleeing. Verse 23. Now, after many days, and we'll describe more of what that means next time. After many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. Why were the Jews, he was a Jewish rabbi, wanting to kill Saul? Because in their view, he turned. He defected. He's one of them messianic believers. Their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Talk about a guy like a man without a country. The Jews persecute him. The believers are apprehensive of him. He's sort of in this in-between state. The Jews want to kill him. The Christian goes, I don't trust this guy. Very difficult position to be in. Years ago, I was in New York City, and I was at a friend's church. She has a church in Manhattan. And I was given a Bible study. It was a midweek service. And I noticed one man who was taking notes the whole time I was speaking. I thought, either this guy's writing a book, has nothing to do with his service, or this guy's taking more notes than I've ever seen anyone in any of my messages. Just writing everything down. He just seemed to have such a hunger, and that's what he was doing, taking notes. So I asked the pastor afterwards, I said, Mike, who is this guy? He smiled and goes, that's John DeLorean. I said, John DeLorean, the guy who made like the DeLorean car? You know, he was in Back to the Future, because that's the same John DeLorean. And you may remember he was put in jail because of the charges that cocaine was put in the glove boxes of those cars and the big snafu, and he was sent to jail. He got out of jail. In jail, he had given his life to Christ, and he tried to join himself to the churches, but he said, the churches around here are very skittish about this guy. And so John DeLorean was like this man without a country. And I had a great time afterwards talking to him. Hunger. That's Saul of Tarsus. Well, the tables have been turned for Saul. Saul was the hunter, the persecutor. Now he's the hunted. He is being persecuted by other Jewish people. By the way, that's exactly what Ananias predicted. Verse 16, go tell Saul, said Jesus, how many things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. You may remember your initial baptism into salvation. That is, you came to Christ, you went to your family, and you told them, hey, I've become a Christian. And they thought, whoa. They thought you were crazy. You went to your friends, they thought you were crazier. And maybe even church people didn't trust you. You were in that precarious, weird position. They didn't know if you're for real or not. I heard a story about a man who was having problems with his wife, so he went to a pastor for counseling. The pastor said, look, you know your wife. You know what she likes. Here's the cure for all of your ills in your marriage. Think of everything she would love you to do and be, and just start putting some of those things into practice. He thought, okay, I can do that. He gave it some thought. He came back in a couple of weeks to that same pastor, and he said, Pastor, it was horrible. I did exactly what you said. It was horrible. He said, tell me what happened. He goes, okay, usually after work, I come home sweaty, dirty. I come in the back door. I go to the refrigerator. I grab a drink, and I sit on the couch, and I watch television till dinner time. On one particular day, I thought, she wouldn't like that. I should rethink my tact. So he said, what I did is I showered at work, put on a shirt and a tie, bought her flowers. Instead of going to the back door, I came to the front door and I rang the doorbell. She opened the door, saw me standing there with a smile, clean flowers, and she burst out crying. I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, well, first of all, your son, Billy, broke his arm. I took him to the hospital today. They put a cast on him. As soon as I get back home from that cast, your mother calls and says she's coming over to spend 3 weeks with us. So I do all the laundry to get everything ready. The washing machine broke. Now there's water all over the floor. And now you have to come home drunk. That poor lady just couldn't believe that her husband was that transformed. He's not for real. I imagine people in that synagogue that day thought, this Saul guy is not for real. And at Jerusalem, no, we don't want him with us. We heard about him. A man without a country. Well, these are Saul of Tarsus post-conversion activities. And we understand that when we come to Christ, that's not the end. It's just the beginning of a process. God is interested in the long term. Salvation of a soul is a miracle of a moment. But the transformation of a life into a man of God or a woman of God is a lifelong process. But all of these post-conversion calisthenics or activities will mark the life of Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, for the rest of his life. He will always be a man of prayer and the Word. He will always be a person who capitalizes on making commitments with the body of Christ. He will always be a preacher of the gospel. And because of that, he will be a target. So, here's the lineup. You spend time with the Lord privately. You make connections with the body of Christ corporately. That will prepare you to get on your feet publicly and share with the world their need for Christ. But when you do that, you will be a target inevitably. Inevitably. You see, if you decide tonight, you know, after tonight, I'm going to ask for God's strength. I'm going to start speaking to one person and then another person. I'm going to bring people to church. I'm going to tell them about Christ. I'm going to get serious about this Christian life stuff. Don't expect the devil and all the demons in hell to give you a standing ovation for that attitude. They're going to go, oh, really? Let me at him. Let me at her. Which means you do all these things, you'll be in good shape. These are good, solid exercises of continual change for all of us.
No, it's not just new believers who need calisthenics. No matter what age you are in Christ, we all need a regular spiritual workout so that we can be in peak condition to spread the gospel and battle the forces of darkness every day. And it's on that note that we're going to have to bring today's study to a close. But if you want a copy of what we covered today, I'll tell you how to order one right after we hear from Skip.
Hi, this is Skip Heitzig. Did you know that I write a weekly devotional? It's called DevoMail. And it can be in your email each week. Here's how you can sign up for my Devo Mail.
Well, thanks, Skip. And if you'd like to learn more about Skip's Devo or any of his other resources, you can always email us your questions at info@connectionradio.org. And for a copy of today's teaching, just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit us on the web at connectionradio.org. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. And if you get in touch with us for the first time, we also have a special bonus teaching from Skip we'd like to send you. It's our way of saying thanks for contacting us for the first time. So if you'd like to take advantage of this opportunity to get a free teaching from Skip Heitzig, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. Or write us, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Do you know what it takes to be great? Maybe you do in this world, but in God's kingdom, the ingredients for greatness are a bit different. Join us next time to learn more here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.